Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. My name is Jeanette Abney, and I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Today is March the 19th, and I first want to say happy birthday. One second, I got to make this a little higher because I don't know if y'all be looking at my all that, but I'm trying to make it higher. So I want to first say happy birthday to my cousin, nephew. It was a long time before he realized he was my cousin because he thought I was always his auntie. So happy birthday, Bobo. And I hope you enjoyed your birthday. And I still got to come up there and go to the restaurant that you work at now as a chef. So I appreciate you for that. And I'm also hungry. Now, today's topic, we're going to be talking about something that has been brought to my attention, not only as me being a therapist, but me being a mother of adult children. When we start talking about people that are dating and marrying and having relationships with other people, and not only that, dealing with individuals on a day-to-day basis in a community. Like I said, y'all have to forgive me because I am hungry. And it kind of goes into our topic today, which has to do with immature adults. It's funny because Paul told me I wasn't hungry, I was hangry. I was real hangry. I'm real hangry right about now, so you better stay out of my way. Because I'm hungry, I'm moody, I'm irritable, I'm mad. I got all that going on right about now. But I'm going to be okay. So with today's topic, when we talk about immature adults, that is huge because a lot of times we get that term or that definition of immature. We say a person is childish. We say a person is inconsiderate. We say a person is irresponsible, selfish. We give them a lot of adjectives, but we also, when we talk about adverbs and what they verbs, because sometimes it shows their behavior. Now, I wrote on here and it said, it has been said that maturity does not come with age. And that is true. Because I remember my mother used to say that my father was one of the oldest teenagers she ever saw in her life. And I was like, okay, what did she mean by that? But he had childlike ways. He was 70-something years old and still wants to be a gangster rapper. Who wants to be a gangster rapper in their 70s? Okay? Now, when it comes to dealing with an immature or childish adult, what is the best way to respond? How do you respond to someone when you start seeing these childlike behaviors or you are dealing with the inner child? Also, when we consider the immature behavior when it comes to engagement in relationships with, now we talk about accountability, we talk about responsibility, that looks different for everybody. And often individuals may engage in what we call childlike behaviors. You know, we say Michael Jackson was a big old kid and he had to never, never land and all this other stuff. But when we start talking about these childlike behaviors, sometimes they may not always have an impact on another person. They can just do what they want as long as they're not bothering nobody. But what if those behaviors you're finding is impacting you, them, your family, and everybody else? You know, I used to think that playing video games was one of those things. I'm like, I ain't going to take no man playing no video games, sitting there for hours. And then I do remember one time I did date a person, and Madden football got on my nerves. People said, ever playing Madden football? But I got his butt back one time. I ain't going to tell what I did, but I did that. But when we start talking about these behaviors and how it can have an impact on other individuals, some may find that when themselves in a relationship with a person that failed to thrive, or not only fail to thrive, but they fail to accept responsibilities for their actions or behavior, and then they go into what's called the blame game. They blame everybody for them not growing, for them not developing. Sometimes we may enable individuals. And when we talk about enable a person, that's when you do for somebody what they can do for themselves. Sometimes individuals have codependency issues to where they will do things for individuals, and they know that this person is not on their level. They know it. But a lot of other behaviors become of that. And like I said, the blame game is one thing. Now, telling the individual you need to grow up, they don't know what that means. They really don't. They don't have a clue. And when we start talking about that, so if you want to join in on the conversation, give me a call at 516-1914 because I want to know from you if you have experienced that. You know, a lot of times we see individuals don't have the work ethic that many individuals had when we were younger. We find that some individuals are still living at home with their parents, sleeping on their mama's couches, don't want to leave home. I know rent is high. I get that. I know that when individuals have jobs and they can't make ends meet, I get that too. So we start talking about maturity, a maturity not coming with age, what do that mean? And we're going to be also talking about some signs that let you know that you may be dealing with an immature adult. And how can you deal with the person? And what causes these childish-like behaviors? And what is or what are some of the behaviors of immature people? Because we give people too many passes. And sometimes people say, oh, well, you've been very patient or you got the patience of Job. No, you need to grow up. You got to do better. You know, like my daughter always say, just do better. So let's start by what is the definition of an immature adult? Now, when we talk about emotional maturity, on the other hand, is a tendency to express emotions without restraint or disproportionation up to the situation. Now, I've got a caller calling in, and I want to log this person on because I want to also hear what they have to say. Because we know that a person reaches the age of adulthood when they turn 18. But just because they're 18, I understand age, stage, and development. I get that. I understand if a person has mental health issues. I get that, too. But maturity is a little different. Hi, this is Jeanette. Welcome to Precious and Kicking Me. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. My name is Joe. And you were getting on to the definition of what is an immature person, which is very important. We have to know what. Yeah.
Okay.
So dealing with immature people, in a nutshell, I would try to find out why they are immature. What is the reason behind it? How come they haven't grown up? Sit down with them, try to show them understanding. If that doesn't work, to let them know that they can trust me. And to let them know that as a result of their behavior, it is affecting their relationship and that they should change. Well, if they feel that it's an affront to them, then I want to let them, but I'm not trying to insult them. I'm not trying to control them. But if they don't get it because of trauma or for whatever particular reason, then I have to set boundaries. I have to let them know. This is what doing to bother me, and if you do it too many times, you're just going to have to go. I like you. I wish we could continue on. I wish we could grow together because you have some very good qualities, but there are certain behavior characteristics about you that are just too annoying and too detrimental to the relationship.
These words now that you are using, because I really like that. When you said too many times, what is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, too many.
My mother used to tell me, Jeanette, why do I have to whoop you for the same stuff over and over again? I said, well, you might as well stop whooping me because I ain't going. Sometimes we keep repeating the behaviors and it becomes a habit. It becomes a pattern because they may see nothing wrong what they're doing. And you brought up something else that I want to speak on, even coming from a therapist perspective, is trauma. Sometimes when individuals have experienced some type of trauma, they get stuck in a certain part or development of their life. They don't develop. They don't mature. And sometimes individuals stay in what you call victim mode. And when they're in victim mode, they may not see what they're doing to other people. I like listening and watching Tyler Perry plays and films. And one of the things he said, if someone tells you that this right here it bothers you. A person that is willing to do something about it is a person that cares. Sometimes we say, well, you should just accept me for who I am. All I want to do is, no, that's not cool. Because when we start talking about these behaviors, that's where it becomes a problem. Behaviors. Now, from your perspective and maybe your experience, what are some of the behaviors that you may have seen in a woman that you was like, this is being very immature? Because, see, women and men, we kind of grow up a little differently.
Mm-hmm.
You got a background. What are some of the things
that
you noticed in me?
Sorry about that. I don't know what my app. I'm here. I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't know if it's my app or my phone or my earbuds, but well, for example, being on time. Now I can deal with somebody who's late. Somebody gave me a good suggestion years ago. Let's say I tell her you got to be there at 6 o'clock. Now she shows up at 6:10 or 6:10. Five, and then you say, well, we got to be there at 5:45. That way, she'll show up 10 minutes later, but still, we're there on time. Okay, so if that's a remedy that I can use, then cool. But if somebody's not a good listener, if a person does not show sensitivity to what's bothering me, if they're not good listeners, if they don't take responsibility for the behavior that is bothering me, yet at the same time, if I were to do the same thing, she would complain, then I have to impose boundaries, okay? What is the definition of a bad behavior? Because sometimes somebody's irritating because of their personality. Well, they don't mean to be irritating, right? And maybe they are irritating, objectively speaking, but sometimes it's the person who is being irritated who is the problem. They're being irritated too easily. You know? So we have to decide or try to find out which.
You got to find that balance, because nothing works for everybody. Because you got some people whose voice is annoying. They get on your nerves. You just hear their voice and be like, ooh, this person on my nerves. Or, you know, some of the things that they do may be quite annoying, but you want to bring it to their attention. Now, we know that immaturity can take on many forms. Always deflect. When you're talking to them, they deflect. And where I was asking you the question, because an immature woman makes it different from an immature man. Say you play too much, or people would say you silly, or we don't know how to regulate our emotions. We don't know how to. So we may deflect when things come our way. We may blame other people for things that is not their fault. We may pick fights for no reason.
Right.
Like, you gotta start fighting with me for no reason. Or being passive aggressive is another form of immaturity, and it can be interpersonal relationships or deal with interpersonal issues. But when we start talking about there's different forms. Now, signs of immaturity: throwing temper tantrum. I caught a sister from another mother. She used to tell me that I got to bring you some Scooby Snacks because when I get hungry, I could be immature. I could be moody. I could be irritable. I could do all that when I'm hungry. And I don't know why. It affects my emotions. So throwing temper tantrums is one sign of immaturity. Being unable to make commitments. Financial irresponsibility. And I didn't know that had a lot to do with maturity. And also, some people having few close friends. Because if you're immature or you're childish, a lot of people ain't going to want to deal with you. Because you're going to have a hard time being a friend on an adult level if you still have childlike behavior. What is your thought in regards to that?
Well, I'm a person that hasn't dropped. So I have childlike behavior, in which I believe in carpe diem. I believe that the moment is here. You're not going to get the moment back. Enjoy it as much as possible. Now, I will tell you that I did modify my behavior years ago. Someone was pointed out to me that childhood behavior consisted of an air-splitting laugh. I didn't believe them, right? Mm-hmm. But I put myself on tape. I was reading a very funny book, and I listened to myself laugh as I was reading the book, and then I found they're right. I got this crazy laugh that can split rocks. No wonder they're telling me that my laugh is annoying. So I modified it. Now people don't hear that laugh anymore.
You have a television. I don't know if you're in television or radio, but you have a very distinctive voice, too.
Oh, well, thanks. Yeah. I have the people do tell me I have a you know, a broadcaster's voice, which is nice to hear.
You do.
But you heard my laugh, voice would not impress you.
Wow. Okay.
My laugh was that bad. I wonder if I still have it on tape. That was years and years ago. I should look for it. I have to listen to it again because it was an air splitter.
Okay.
So as a result, I mean, two or three, four people told me, and I thought they were just, you know, trying to impose themselves on me. But when I listened to the laugh, and I said, oh, my God, I agree. God, that laugh is bad. Now, I know people who slurp when they eat soup. That should be eliminated. You also brought up a point where somebody may get mad or, you know, point a finger at somebody and blame them. That's when you have to sit down with a person and say, you're telling me that this particular behavior annoys you. So you're saying that if I wake up in the morning and I don't brush my teeth right away, that annoys you to the point where you have to make a big deal of it. I can brush my teeth in the morning, but I like to brush my teeth at night. Now, if I change, I'll do it for you. But if now she comes back with something else and then something else and then something else, then I know she's a constant complainer and I got to get rid of her.
Okay, but here we go. Do you not brush your teeth in the morning but start talking to her and she got to smell your breath? That's a different scenario now. That's just being disrespectful. If you
now
smell
see
your
that's
breath,
a good yeah. Now that's a good point. If my breath stinks in the morning, I'm brushing it. But if it doesn't, then I know she's just trying to make trouble.
Well, here we go. I forgot what you said your name was. You may not smell what she smells, but if you're doing it to purposefully annoy her, if you got something to say when you first wake up, that's fine. But there's a difference in regards to brushing your teeth at night and your mouth gets all whatever, and you waking up in the morning and you know you ain't smelling real fresh right about now. So out of respect, you might not want to know that annoys it. I know I snore, and I drive people crazy with my snoring because I make animal sounds. They be like, man, I can't be around. Now, I'm asleep. I don't hear it. But other people, I will annoy the hell out of them with me sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
So
I know.
Now, if I want to be a butthole about it, I'll do it on purpose. I won't say no purpose. I won't put my T-Tac on purpose, you know. But otherwise, I try to be considerate of other people. It's about being considerate. Now, we know immature behavior includes, but not limited to, quick emotional escalation. Some individuals cannot escalate their emotions, and they quick to anger, to judge, quick to get out of control. Impulse control issues, because as an adult, you learn patience, wait your turn. You're not sitting here going nuts because you can't have it your way like Burger King. You know, a consistent need to be the center of attention sometimes is also an immature behavior. You know, they always got to be considerate of the patient, and they left accountability for their actions, the avoidance of responsibility. They try to avoid responsibility at all costs. That's the problem.
Oh, yeah. They cannot hold themselves accountable for it. Now, I brought up that example about the bad breath because you're right. If a person wakes up with morning breath and it's really bad, that person should brush their teeth. It's just common sense, common courtesy. But if, for example, my breath doesn't smell and I say, look, I'll tell you what, I don't mind brushing my teeth, but I think you're doing this for whatever reason, and I've had my breath tested at a laboratory, and it does not smell. I've also had other girlfriends before you, and they did not complain. So here are the test results of the laboratory, and like I said, other girlfriends have not complained, but you are. So do you think that's something, do you think you're doing that because maybe fear of abandonment, or you just want to dominate me? I'll try to get down to the nitty-gritty.
And here we go. You're bringing up an interesting point, and we can go back and forth on that in regards to, are you not doing it because you don't want to know what to do? That's the fact. I have a granddaughter. I don't think she's doing that. But my granddaughter, thank you, Steve. And she would purposely wear wet socks, knowing her mistake. And it was, I used to be like, how can you sit? I'm surprised the teacher asked you out the classroom with the way your feet feel. And she would laugh about it. It was funny to her. Now she's in high school. I'm quite sure she ain't going to school with stinky feet. But in middle school, and when she was a kid, she would take her bath, put her socks in the bathroom.
Put her socks in the bathroom.
Now,
you know what? You're very choppy. I don't know if it's me, probably my phone, or probably something to do with my electronics. I'm going to call right back in about 5 seconds, and hopefully that'll take care of this problem. Okay? Okay, good.
No problem. Okay, thank you. Now, we talk about some immature behaviors are worse than others. You know, the caller talking about brushing your teeth in the morning. Who wants to wake up? Even though you got a mate with you, some people can deal with your stanky breath, some people can't. Some people can't deal with your stanky feet. Some people can't. It's like, really? When you know, you want to be conscious and considerate of other individuals. An adult that is immature is not going to be considerate of nobody because they'd be like, if you don't like it, oh, well. But that's part of being immature. That's part of it. Now, when we talk about things in regards to dealing with maturity, maturity is those things that, like I said, sometimes we don't want to be told. I get that. I totally get that. Sometimes we can be annoying and we can do it on purpose. But then it becomes, why? Why do you have to act like that? Why did you want to do this? Why do you have difficulties that can't come in? Now, I'm looking at an article, and it says, if someone displays these 9 behaviors, they're emotionally immature, because we got behaviors that are immature, and we also have emotional maturity. And emotional immaturity can manifest itself in a variety of ways, and it's not just about being childish or throwing temper tantrums. It's more complicated than that. You know, being able to spot these behaviors is essential in maintaining healthy relationships and avoiding unnecessary stress. Because I am known for saying people are getting on my nerves. But these are some of the things that they say individuals do. They avoid, again, responsibility. One of the most telltale signs of emotional immaturity is the aversion to responsibility. Emotionally immature adults tend to dodge responsibilities, whether it's at work, in a relationship, or even in their personal life. They blame other people for their circumstances rather than accept that they may be part of the problem. That's one of the biggest issues. They don't know how to separate what may have happened to them versus what role you're playing in this. They want to say the victim. What is your idea? What is your take on that in regards to an emotionally immature person will avoid responsibility.
There are two things that immature people do. They're selfish and they don't want to change. They don't want to take responsibility for their actions, and or they want to annoy you. Now, it could hurt people. Trauma causes people to be counterproductive in their relationships. So I would try to be, like I said, I would try to be understanding, try to let them know I'm not going to condemn you. But at the same time, we have to come to an agreement that this particular behavior of yours is actually annoying and it should stop. If we can't come to that, I know you have trauma. I want to be there for you. But if you're going to continue to annoy me because of the trauma or because you find pleasure in annoying me, even though you like me or love me, and your behavior is more important than our relationship, to let you go.
But people, the thing is, if, when you say I gotta let you go, some of these people make it as a threat or an ultimatum, and threats and ultimatums don't work. Because some individuals will be, they'll test you. That's a whole other issue with immature individuals. They will test people for no reason. We too old for this. You know, it's like you like me, you like me not. You love me not. Those are trying to be tested. And an immature person will do that. They play games. They play games. Another one they say is individuals that are immature struggle with empathy. Now, there's a difference between empathy versus sympathy. Empathy is like knowing what it's like to be in somebody else's shoes. My daughter tells me all the time, Mom, people don't care. They just don't care. They say people that don't have nothing don't want nobody else to have nothing. People will mess up what you got because they don't want you to have it. So when we start talking about empathy, empathy is another behavior that is typical of immature adults. They just don't have it. Now, the lack of empathy meant is that they struggle to understand and share the feelings. They don't care. They want what they want when they want it. And sometimes people are so focused on what they want, they have no consideration for nobody else. What is your take on that in regards to the fact that an immature person, they lack empathy?
Well, when I got on your show tonight, the first thing I said was lack of sensitivity. That's one of the things when you were asking me about what is it that a woman can have that annoys you, you know, that would be a sign of immature behavior. And you have to be sensitive because you're going to say, well, you're a man. You have to toughen up. You have to man up. You can't cry, can't show vulnerabilities. Well, then that's another reason for why you got to go. Because a relationship is supposed to be about I'm supposed to support you, and you're supposed to support me. If your trauma, your selfishness, or your sense of entitlement makes you so immune to what I'm going through, then I don't need you. Now, you were also saying about if this person has such immature behavior and keeps continuing it, then I say, you know, I don't have the recipe for a good relationship. I do have a recipe for making sure that you don't stay in a bad one, and that's boundaries.
Got you. But do you know a lot of people, some people are afraid to implement boundaries because they don't want to come off as being mean and insensitive. But if the person don't know where you stand or where you draw the line and you're firm but you're fair, your yes means yes, your no means no. People will try to manipulate you by saying, oh, well, you don't understand where I'm coming from or you. No, I've learned now when I'm in my 50s, when I was younger and dating, I may have tolerated or saw or dealt with. I'm not dealing with that mess no more. I cannot deal with an immature adult in my 50s, almost 60s. I ain't got that kind of patience. I ain't got that much time now. I need peace. We need to be considerate of each other. Not just everything got to be my way, because I've been told that. It always got to be your way. No, it don't. No, no. But that's part of the other person's immaturity. They just fail to thrive. They never have to really, I say never, they may have gotten away with being inconsiderate, being rude, being disrespectful. And like you said, the patience, I also know now, and I heard T.D. Jakes say, not your fault what happened to you, but it's your responsibility to do something about it. I don't want to hear what your mama did, what your dad did, who did this to you.
I like that terminology. I like that priest.
Don't put on me. Yeah. So what we've experienced a lot of times was trauma dumping. As a therapist, when I see and I hear these red flags, I tell people, I cannot break you up and I cannot keep you together. All I can do is reflect on what you're telling me to get you to think. And you guys are going to do what you want to do. Because sometimes we stay in these relationships that are unhealthy for too long. Because what we're trying to do is make unhealthy healthy. Now, I've been doing good, losing weight, doing up. I wanted freaking Burger King today. I still ate my Whopper. But I wanted a Whopper. And if my daughter saw me drinking this vanilla shake, she sure wouldn't come around me. But I was being immature. I was being moody. I was all up because I was mad because somebody busted the window out of the back of my vehicle, and I just got it fixed, so I had to go pick it up, and I'm running around with the chick with my head cut off. And I realized I had 8 since 9 o'clock this morning. I'm freaking hungry. And I had fruit. Got my fruit here. So I tell people I'm doing good. I got my juice. I'm juicing. I'm doing all this to get to. But it's okay. You just don't want to violate the rights of others and impose your immature behaviors on other people. Another thing is some immature people are very needy. They're like vampires. They will suck the life out of you and make it seem like you don't care. You don't care about me. You don't. And it, somebody will hear all that. Somebody will hear all that. So when we talk about the empathy part, and it's important to remember that empathy is a vital part of emotional maturity because the ability to understand and share the feelings of others show emotional growth and maturity. I get it. Now, if you know, or if someone you know struggles with empathy, they might just be emotionally immature. It may not mean that they don't know how to pay any bills on time. It doesn't mean that they're irresponsible. Some individuals, and especially women, we put up walls, fortresses, gates. We do all of that because we may not want to be hurt again, and people may view it as if we have no emotions, but we all have emotions. But what shows is how you react and respond to certain situations. Any comments you want to make in regard to that?
Well, everything you said, I agree with. The thing is, it's very hard to let people know that they are being immature because nobody wants to be corrected, you know.
Oh,
everybody
wow.
would like to see themselves being perfect or at least as close mm-hmm. to perfection as possible. And
mm-hmm.
if somebody criticizes them, that could mean to them because of their trauma that person, the person who has criticized them, may be close to rejecting them. Nobody wants
mm-hmm.
to be rejected. So... hurt people do hurt people. Trauma is a very, very important factor in people's lives as to why they act immature or counterproductive to themselves and to the relationship. But I think that empathy and sympathy are important at the beginning to let them know you can trust me, you know, within a reasonable period of time, for a reasonable length of time, and for reasonable behavior on my part. If what I show you doesn't
mm-hmm.
allow you to trust me and you're going to
mm-hmm.
continue with your behavior, I like you, but I can't be with you.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's interesting you said that. This is what I tell people. I love you, but I love me more. I love me enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not dealing with it. And I've learned now with trauma, people have been through things. We all have been through some things. But don't dump your shit on me. Don't. Like, I just got to be upset. I don't. I really don't. And even as a therapist, allows individuals to think you are supposed to be fit for these relationships. No, because as a therapist, you consider that this is not healthy. This is not going to, you're not going to grow. And if you are not growing, people become stagnant, and they want people to just accept that. And they talk about unconditional love. I saw something that said, the only person who will love you unconditionally is your mom. And I, because I have adult children, I'm not going to even say unconditionally, because some of the things that they do, I will read in a heartbeat, because it's not acceptable. It's just not acceptable.
Yeah, exactly. I forgot what I was going to say.
Listen, I want to hear your thoughts on this. There's a difference in correcting or redirecting or bringing it to somebody's attention or pointing it out. If I bring it to your attention that this right here is bothering me, I brought it to your attention. I'm not criticizing you. I'm not even trying to talk about where you and how this habit developed. But I'm just saying that this right here, I'm having a problem with this. We can talk about it. We can have an adult conversation. Sometimes you can't have an adult conversation with an immature person because they're in their feelings and they may be taking it personal. But if you know how to regulate your emotions and you have emotional intelligence or maturity, I can talk about anything. Don't take it personal. We can explore it. We can process it. We can see what we can do with this. People can do something about some things they may not be able to do nothing about it. I always say you got to be willing, you got to be ready, and you got to be able. Some people just not able. It's just not them. So when we make these threats and ultimatums and I'm going to leave and then the person don't go nowhere, you're giving that person mixed messages. Okay? And some of these things, we know we're not going to tolerate them behaviors off the top. I don't like cheaters, and I don't like liars. And I don't put myself in situations that I think I do to lie on me. I mean, lie to me. Why lie? It's like it was a movie when they say you ain't got a lie to kick it. But some people will lie because they don't think the truth is good enough, or they try to avoid certain things. Or it takes too much. You have to do all of that because that will destroy the relationship. And that's a childlike behavior. Not necessary. Not when you're grown. When you're grown, you don't have to lie about some of that stuff. Not even necessary. Let's speak on this one a little bit, because this is one of the things that I see a lot of times with immature adults, is they're impulsive. I had to work on that. Lord knows I had to work on that. When I went to go pick my car up from the shop just a minute ago, somebody busted my window. As soon as they busted my window that Saturday, my niece was like, auntie, they broke your window. Auntie, we still don't know who broke the window. I said, hell, maybe a raccoon did it. I don't know. The people asked me at the shop, how did that happen? I don't know. We saw raccoons the next day. I don't know. Always been impulsive. And the first thing I said was, oh, okay, well, I'll go buy me another one. Go buy me a new one. But my daughter said, Mom, you don't need another vehicle. You don't go nowhere. You don't drive nowhere. So why you going to go? But I know I've always struggled with being impulsive. I've been in my rental property home longer than I was here the first time. When I bought this house in 1998, I've been here for 10 years. I ain't never lived in this house for 10 years. I didn't even live in this house for 10 years the last time because my goal was to go buy another one. But when I started seeing the price of homes, I said, Jeanette, slow down. Jeanette, you got to be, no, you can't be impulsive, Jeanette. No, you can't. But how do you deal with an impulsive person? What's your formula for that one?
Well, the person's impulsive, but they're not that annoying. And I take it as part of the personality. It's something which is kind of spontaneous. But they're annoying. It's the same thing. I have to sit down and talk to them. As a therapist, have you ever come across people who, when you're sympathetic with them, when you may have them trust you, when they realize that you're trustworthy, that's the time when they get even worse. And the reason I'm asking is because I wonder how many times in a relationship, if a person can show the other partner, hey, you know what? I am trustworthy. And that person actually believes that that person's trustworthy. But now that trustworthiness has now triggered them into reminding them that every time they come across a situation with a person that they feel good about and safe with, that's when the rug is pulled out from underneath them. So as a therapist, how do you deal with that?
Well, I set boundaries, and I'm firm, but I'm clear. A lot of times people look at my picture, and they'll say, "Oh, can you black?" I'll be like, all black people are not black, okay? Because all black people don't know black people's issues. So my job is to teach you. My job is to provide you information and resources. I'm not going to enable nobody. I don't like long-term psychotherapy. I'm more solution-focused. And I am one that I have to be careful with my mouth because sometimes I may not have a filter. And some people may think that I'm being insensitive, but I'm not. And some people like the boldness. Some people don't. Some people are okay with it. Some people are not. I'm not a good fit for everybody, and I'm okay with that because it's not about me, and my intentions is not to harm anyone. So when I start getting these phone calls, my phone sometimes starts ringing at 6 in the morning. I won't answer it. I'll click the button sometimes. Can I call you back? Can I call you back? And I let them know that because a crisis for that person is not my crisis. At one point, I used to see like 10 clients a day. That means on the hour, every hour. And people would be like, Jeanette, how do you? And every client wants to be important. And I get that. When it's your turn, it's your turn. But I have to teach them boundaries. I have to teach them respect. My clients know that they can trust me after they get to know me because I'm trustworthy. I'm not flaky. I'm not, but I know that everybody may not like my style, and I get that too. So if I get a client and they only see me one time and they text me the next week and say, I want to cancel my appointment or any upcoming appointment, they'll say, okay, thank you. Take care of yourself. That's it. Or I'll get those that say, you know what, Jeanette, I got what I need. I'm good. I'll remember you. I have clients that keep coming back years later. Or they'll, you know, run into another situation. But I also have those clients because I do the 52-week domestic violence group. I do the 52-week child abuse. I'm doing the substance abuse group, parenting, anger management. Many of my clients, because I'm very knowledgeable in a lot of different subject matters, my clients will call me before they call their attorneys. I worked in the courts. So there's a lot of information that they have been given misinformation, and they trust me because I have not lied to them. But some people will test you to see if you will lie, and I don't lie to them. And that's a whole other thing, but boundaries. And that's with any type of job you have to set boundaries. And I also have to remember, I'm working with people that are broken. I'm working with individuals that may have difficulties with communication, that may have issues with boundaries, may have issues with trust, may have issues with abandonment. Once I see what I'm looking at and what I'm dealing with, I know how to handle it accordingly. That's what I do. And if I can't help them, I refer them out, not personal.
Okay. So then, I don't know how many, well, I don't know if you're married. Well, you have kids, if you're married. But before you're married, even in your marriage, if you come across people that even in your, as a client of yours or personal friends of yours, the people that you dated, have you found that when they have begun to trust you, now, see, trust is supposed to be one of the pillars of not just communication, but of making a relationship work. But if they begin to trust you, that might make them even more uneasy because, as I said, that might remind them that's the point where their father abandoned them, their mother abandoned them, their boyfriend abandoned them, their children abandoned them because as they grew to trust, that person whom they trusted turned out to be, in their opinion, a Judas.
Mm-hmm. So, I did that.
Do you find that often? Do you think that that is, do you think that's a dynamic that a lot of people experience outside of your clientele, mm-hmm. but in real life? Do you think that that's something that does it?
A lot of individuals have had broken trust because, like you said, they have avoidant issues, abandonment issues, trying to fit in, people-pleasing issues. Again, your sound sounds very, very muffled. It may sound clear on the radio, not sounding clear. You're also on Facebook. But I want to say this, and this one comes a lot, and you asked me the question about people that I work with. I worked in the past for many, many, many years, and I still do, individuals with drug and alcohol issues. Now, you will find a lot of immature behaviors with individuals that have substance abuse, substance use, and addictive behaviors. You're going to find some form of immaturity with that. One of the things and one of the big issues that I run into in my, and I've been the owner of the Center for the Treatment of Addiction for over 18 years. I didn't realize that I've been retired for over 26 years. I've been retired because I retired, well, not that long. I think the last time I drove a school bus was like in 1997. And then I officially retired in 1999, but I've really been retired since 1997. Now, with that being said, and being the owner of two outpatient counseling centers, and with the Center for the Treatment of Addiction, I had court-referred clients, I found a lot of resistance that people don't like being told what I will meet you where you are to help you get to where you're trying to go, and I don't take away their power. So therefore, even though they may be coming to me being resistant, don't want to pay their fees, don't want to be there, when it's time for them to get ready to graduate and leave, they don't want to go. They come back. They send other people. They do like tell a friend. I get phone calls from people telling me, hey, so-and-so told me to come to you, or so-and-so told me to call you. Even when people call me wanting and looking for a therapist, if I cannot help them, I will refer them to somebody else, or I will explain the process of their insurance. You know, a lot of times with mental health, we got so many people that are having relationship issues, and they want couples counseling. Couples counseling is illegal and unethical if you are in a domestic violence situation, meaning if you guys are fussing and fighting, and you can't do couples counseling like that because you can make matters worse. You got to work on your own individual issue. So when I run into these things, I will tell you what other people are not going to tell you. That's how I get their trust, very honest. And they'll tell me on the phone, nobody ever said that to me. Or my insurance company didn't tell me, you're on the list. I may be on the list, but that's a billing issue. Unless it meets medical necessity, couples counseling is not covered by your mental health insurance. But then you got EAP, your employee assistance program, it's free. No cost to you, paid for by your employer to address non-medical issues. It's my honesty. That's why they trust me. Okay. Now, I want to go back. Do you have any other questions for me? Because I don't mind you picking my brain. I don't mind.
Well, okay, here's the question. How often do you find, I'm not even going to talk about your practice. How about your observations about the world at large? How often do you find that a part of the reason why relationships don't work is the fact that even though a person in that relationship can be very, very empathetic and sympathetic and be a good listener, but the other person, as a result of being treated well, will retreat from that relationship because they're being treated well? How often do you think that happens?
A lot. I can't give a number, but a lot, because you know why? Some people self-sabotage. They feel it's too good to be true. When people come and try to date me, they put me in a box with regular females. I'm not a regular female. And by the time they realize that, it's too late. You done messed it up. I can't trust you because that is your character. Once I learned about character traits, once I had a better understanding of defense mechanisms, once I start seeing immature behaviors that this person is not thriving, I learned that this is not for me. So the things and the type of people that I dated when I was young, even if they experienced trauma, even if they had addictions, even if they came from a broken home, I don't judge nobody. I'm not to judge nobody. But I had to tell somebody the other day when we talked about marriage, I know I got one more marriage in me, at least one more left, because I'll be 58 this year. I got one more left. But I cannot marry outside of my league because I don't want to be like these. I don't want to be a Wendy Williams and I got to pay somebody $20,000, $30,000 alimony a month, or I got to do, no. What are you bringing to the table? Can we grow together? I know that a lot of men that are coming or wanted to, they're looking at the wrong things. They're not looking at us growing. And I feel sorry for a lot of men because a lot of men have dealt with some messed up women. They dealt with some women that had some issues, and these issues that they had, they thought they could fix. They thought that they could grow, and you were on two different levels. So when you ask me the questions about relationships, some people ain't got no business together in the first place. We date what's convenient. We date what we know and what's familiar until we outgrow it. Okay, look like we got another caller on the line. I don't know. I bought some oil, and if you use it all, you gonna ask me. Y'all talking out loud. You know I'm on the radio. Come on, do I got some oil? Do you think what am I supposed to do? I'm going to go out there and make a well, and I'm going to make a well. I'm going to take a hole in the dirt and dig some oil out. Okay, I think this is Mr. Ed's number. Mr. Ed, how are you doing?
How you doing, Sister Jeanette?
I'm doing well. So we're talking about immature adults and how some individuals can be immature as an adult, and the guy, the caller, was asking me some questions. Here's another one that I like, and we kind of talked about this. They have difficulties handling criticism. My nieces came and asked me if I got some oil. They done been to the store at least 3 or 4 times this week. I bought some oil the last time I went to the store. Why you gonna come? They've been loud the whole time I've been on the show. And then she would come whispering, knocking on my door. My auntie, you got some oil? If I had some oil, it would be on the cabinet. I don't have no oil. So difficulty handling criticism. Now, we know that sometimes individuals don't like to be put down or told off or, you know, we're talking about criticizing, ain't they constructive criticism, ain't nothing constructive about criticism. But individuals that are immature, they have difficulties handling criticism. What is your take on that? Okay, I think the other caller just hung up. What's your take on that, Mr. Ed?
Of course, immature people, they don't like criticism. You know, they in other words, they have their idea and that's it. You know, they don't want to hear no other angles. They don't want to hear no possibility. They don't want to discuss. They just want to dictate. You know, this is how it is, like, and if you don't believe what I say, then you stupid kind of thing. You know, that's just how immature people think. You know,
and you know, and that you just spoke on something where they will call you names because they can't handle it. You know, and there's no room to grow. There's no room for improvement. There's no room. So when we start talking about maturity, especially when it comes to their emotions and they get caught up in their feelings, that could be a problem. Another one is an immature adult can be a poor listener. They have poor listening skills because listening is a skill that requires patience, understanding, and also emotional maturity. And if you are not mature emotionally, you will not want to hear what somebody has to say because in most cases we'll take it personal or we'll make it personal. Everything is not about you. It's not personal.
I definitely agree with that. This is why they say
when you have a discussion with someone about something that's, you know, is really important or serious, make sure you're not emotional. Make sure you're not angry. Things of that nature. Because when you go into a conversation angry or emotional, your maturity level will go down because all you're thinking about is what's on your mind. You really don't want to hear what they got to say. Say at that moment.
I'm gonna say hangry too, because today I was hungry, and I was a hot mess. I was a hot mess. I was so hungry. I didn't realize I had ate this breakfast. So now that I had to go pick up my vehicle and I had to do therapy sessions, and then I only had an hour to go and stop doing my session, go get pick up my vehicle, pay for somebody breaking my window, and then the man go ask me when I get there. I just got one question. How did that happen? Hell, I don't know. Somebody just broke my window. They broke the window on my back of my head. I don't know. But I had to get it fixed. But the thing is, I was hungry. And because I was hungry, I was irritable. I was so freaking irritable. And it was just because I was hungry. So these are some of the things that when we start talking about regulating your emotions, some people have immature individuals have difficulties doing that. But you want to make sure that you don't blame other people for how you feel. You want to make sure that you are in touch with reality. You know that it is just not going to always be about you. Sometimes with immature adults have difficulties compromising. They always want their way. That's a problem. And the other caller was talking about how to, if it's getting to the point where you're not getting anywhere, he said he'll let them know, I can't handle this, I got to go. Now, I want to say this. How do you deal with an immature adult? Because I know we got like 2 minutes left on the show. These are things you want to do. Communicate assertively. You want to communicate by telling the immature person that their actions bother you and that you would like for it to stop. You don't try to control them. You don't demand. You just, this is not working for me. And sometimes they'll say, well, what do you want me to do differently? Or what do you want me to, you don't want them to be a people pleaser. You don't want it to be all about you. But if you know some of the things that they're doing, you got to communicate it. You got to understand that fixing an immature person's behavior is not your responsibility. Not my problem. Whose problem is this? You have to also cut an immature person sometime out of your life. If they're unwilling to change, not only to make you comfortable, but to enhance the relationship for the relationship to grow. And that is huge. That is huge. Because sometimes people will say, well, you want me to do this for you. You want me. I'm doing this for our relationship. What is your take on that, Mr. Ed?
Well, first off, are you talking about dealing with immature relationships? Immature people in a relationship or dealing with immature people in general?
I'm talking about in a relationship because in general, you ain't got to deal with people. Some people you ain't got to deal with. Some people.
Okay.
If
okay.
my neighbor is immature, I'm not going to even entertain that. If I see my neighbor is doing cow-like things, because I had an immature, I wasn't going to engage in all of that. It got to the point eventually I had to move after I had 2 dead dogs in my backyard. Because I was like, this ain't going to make me go. I'm going to wind up going to jail. I can say he's going to make me. But his behavior was childish and immature and racist. That was his issue. So I'm talking about in a relationship, because in a relationship,
Yeah. Well, as far as the relationships go, you still got different categories. You got like personal relationships, like your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, your kids, your family. And then you got the kind of you got what you call temporary relationships. That means like when you're doing business relationships, things of that nature. You know, so you got that kind of a relationship. So say, for instance, you're in a business situation, right? And you're dealing with a person that's just, like you said, immature. And not, listening
to whatever. You asked me a question. I gave you an answer. In a dating relationship, when you're in a dating relationship, how do you handle that? What causes these childish behaviors in adults? Avoidance of emotional pain. Some individuals may use childlike behaviors as coping mechanisms to shield themselves sometimes from the emotional pain, or to seek attention and care from others. So what happened is they adapt these childlike behaviors. They may think that the other person is showing if they cared or not by engaging and interacting. Some people are like, I'm zero tolerance. I have time for that. I don't have time for that. I'm not going to waste my time. So when we start talking about these things, and if the person is trying to avoid emotional pain, I will bring it to their attention, but I would just let them know. And I understand what you're saying, Ed. Sometimes when you're dealing with a business relationship, but I'm talking about dating relationship, what do? Business relationships don't always last that long unless you're business partners. And if you are, figure out what you're going to do, what's going to work best. So when we talk about these things, and the next question reads, and someone says, can an immature adult change? People can grow and change. If someone you care about is emotionally immature, you may be able to help them to learn to behave more like an adult. When we talk about what does that mean, sometimes we say grow up. They don't even know what that means. So therefore, if they don't want to change, you can be like, no, take the spot, leave them alone. But if not, you can guide them in the right direction by having them seek therapy, address the emotional pain. Sometimes people are still coming in with trauma and tragedy and old feelings and who did what to them. And you see that they are deflecting or projecting onto you. You don't have to tolerate that. You don't. Anything you want to leave the listeners with if we ran out of time?
Well, technically, if you're dealing with someone that is immature in a relationship, so dating, marriage, whatever it is, you have made a choice to do that. Because as you said earlier, you don't have to deal with somebody, even in a personal relationship of any kind. You know, you get to the point to where you feel, I don't want to do this, then, you know, let it go. But if you are dealing with this situation, you made a conscious decision to deal with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the only way to deal with it is the best way you can, depending on the circumstances. Mm-hmm. There's no black and white, you know, 1, 2, 3 steps. It kind of varies on what the situation is.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
It makes a lot of sense. I want to put some of the behaviors that people say or do, blaming others when things go wrong, immature. But they don't know how to set responsibilities for their own. Lying to get out of uncomfortable situations, conversations. You don't have to lie. Name calling during conflicts. Hitting below the bell. You ain't got to do all that. Inability to control one's impulses, such as engaging in reckless behavior. Some individuals out of immaturity will engage in reckless behavior. Needing to be the center of attention at all times. Bullying others to get what they want. Denying their part in a conflict or issue. Attacking others as a form of defensiveness or engaging in harmful defense mechanisms such as alcohol abuse and eating unhealthy food excessively. Those are just some of the things that people do. They say when you know better, you do better. But I want to say this. You don't have to be upset if someone brings something to your attention. There's a difference between someone pointing something out or making you feel bad for the way you do things or the way you think. Some individuals have experienced stuff that's like, wow. It doesn't make them bad people, but some individuals carry bad behaviors or toxic behaviors. The man asked me earlier about a relationship. I've learned in my years now, if I see things that I know is not going to agree with my spirit, I don't even want to play with it. Leave it alone. I used to do that when I was younger. I ain't doing it no more. Too much. Because I don't have the energy. Not my problem. So I want to thank you for joining me here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Like I said, I was hangry earlier, so it's time for me to eat my Whopper before it get cold, and I'm already sleepy. So let me take me a nap. So I won't take it out on other people. Anything you want the listeners to know, Ed, before we leave?
That this was a very enticing, interesting topic.
Mm-hmm. Next week.
We'll talk later.
I want to talk about something next week because I was listening to a podcast last night, and they were talking about healthcare. And the other guy brought up some issues with trust. And there's the thing, to when we talk about trust, can you really trust your doctors? I had a situation where my doctor called me, and he really, if we were face-to-face, it was one of those things where she was really testing my intelligence, and I did not appreciate it. She kept calling me, because I wouldn't answer the phone. I said, woman, just like you are a doctor, your time is valuable. I'm a therapist. My time is valuable, too, and I went. And she got upset with me because she didn't read my file and wanted to give me some medicine that will probably make my situation worse and wanted to charge me $900 for the medicine. Why is the lady, would you take it? She said, yes. I know she's lying because she wouldn't. So, and the reason why I know she's lying, because when I read about the medicine and I know some of the stuff that I already have going on with my body, if that was you, you would not do that because it might kill you. So I want to talk to the listeners because we have to do better with our general health, whether it's hypertension, whether we got people with lupus, we got people with sarcoidosis, we got people with rheumatoid arthritis. And I'm not against medication, but I am strongly against people giving you medication on top of medication, and you don't know what the hell that medicine is doing, and it's making you sicker. And now I'm feeling a wrath because I used to hear people talk about pharmaceuticals and how much medications cost. I'm going, you going to charge me $900 for one prescription every 28 days? You lost your mind. I want to talk about the disparity with healthcare because I want to say back in the older days, there was a trust and a distrust. But how do you know if you can trust your doctor? And what this woman failed to realize is I have doctors in my family. I do my homework. And she's going to try to tell me, well, it's nowhere in your file that you have lupus. I was diagnosed with lupus when I was 14 years old. Crazy, because when I go and I talk to people, and even when I talk to people as part of the Lupus Association, when I do public speaking events for them, people are not living long with lupus now. They're taking their meds, and that medication is suppressing their immune system. And if your immune system is already compromised, why you go suppress it even more because any other little thing can kill you? You got to think. Be homework. What's your thought on that, Mr. Ed, when it comes to medications, medical? People don't know.
Well, I had a conversation similar to this not long ago with someone else. The thing about it is, like what you're saying, like the old days and all this. Well, yeah, I think it's quite similar to today, except that you have more things going on now than you had 50 years ago. And but it's always been a trust and distrust situation. You got some doctors that you can trust because they really heal their patients, and you got others that are just about their pocket, you know, because they get kickbacks medications, you know. A lot of them won't tell you that, but they do get big you know, kickbacks. And so that's a whole lot of things. And it's a bad thing when they prescribe people stuff for 18 years, and then after so many years, they don't tell them. They give it to them to fix this while it's messing this up, see. And then years later, they tell them, well, you know, if we had discovered this, you know, a few years ago, we could have fixed it, but now – get your affairs in order. You know, there's nothing we can do about it. You know, kind of thing. I've known people like that. You know, it's a terrible thing. So
It is. You know what? God is a healer. And I'm not just saying just trust God, but I'm just saying that we got to do better. We really got to do better because I know.
You can only trust so far.
Correct. This time last year, I was on a cane and a walker. Because then I was in so much pain. In 2022, they gave me some medicine. It was a chemotherapy medicine. And I said, why are you giving me chemotherapy medicine? Oh, well, this is the medication we're using for arthritis, and this is the medicine with. I had a stroke. And we got too many people stroking out right about now. I got friends that have had strokes that have been in hospitals for weeks, months. I had a stroke in December of 2022 and didn't even know I had a stroke. I knew something was wrong, but I told that lady yesterday, I said, y'all gonna send me to a dermatologist, an eye doctor, a this, a that, and nobody knows nothing, but you want me to take this medicine for arthritis? I'm moving my hands. I'm doing all of this. I can clap. I can raise my hand. Why am I going to take a $900 medication for what? I said, who going to be responsible if something go wrong? She laughed at me. She thought it was funny. I didn't think it was funny. Not when my doggone premium is almost $800 and you want to charge me $900 for one funky subscription. You lost your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That woman, I don't
know
what she's playing. She don't have a clue because I'm not the one. I am so not the one. And this is what she told me. Well, you're going to be the phone. I said, ma'am, I was born pronounced dead at birth. I said, at least I'm still alive. Because my fingers are going all kind of way. Well, you're going to be the phone. And it's not going to stop your progress. I said, ma'am, apparently I got an email that I had arthritis for 4 years, and I didn't check the email till 4 years later. So I've been told a whole lot of lies.
So you got a lot of misdiagnoses in your life, huh?
Man, it's been the same thing, but just here recently, I would say probably the last maybe 10, 11 years, I have been dealing with a lot of pain, but I'm fine. I'm good. And I was about to give in. I really went. When I woke up the other morning, I said, you know what? I don't want no prednisone because I'm noticing my face is getting round. They said my face is getting round and my butt getting bigger. So I don't want that prednisone to blow me up, but the prednisone was the only thing that was helping with my pain. So I'm not taking any prednisone right now. I'm not doing that. I'm juicing. I'm walking. I'm trying to eat right, except for my Whopper today that I ain't ate yet. So I'm doing these things. I got Dr. Sabi's book about getting the inflammation out your body. I'm doing these things to help me. But I said, you know what, Jeanette? Lord, I used to always say, if I became a diabetic, I'm going to be in trouble. I can't do needles. I'm scared of needles. But I was really willing to give in. I went there with the $500 because they told me I would have to get the shot every 3 months. So when I got ready to pay for it, and she said $900 every 28 days, you're out your rabbit mind. And then when I got home and I did some more information and looked it up of how it suppresses your immune system, and I always knew. And I know my white blood cells are high, my red blood cells are low. You can't get vaccinated. You can't do this. You can't do that. What are you doing to my immune system? I'm not doing it. Nope. I'm still alive. I'm still breathing. And that woman had the nerve to laugh at me. It's like when I had my one doctor, and he called me grossly obese, and I said, your mama. I said, I may be obese, but I ain't gross. But I noticed, like I said, my face is getting fat. My face, we ain't doing all that. So we go eat my fruit. We go drink my juice. We go do the stuff that I've been doing to take care of me. But my mother died at 59. I'd be doggone if I died before 59. I ain't doing it. Not doing it. So, but I want to talk about that because a lot of individuals are not. Even when it came to breast cancer, we got to do better. We got to do better. And people should be, they should take an oath. They took an oath to do no harm. We killing people out there. Stress is killing people. People are stressing the hell out. And we're not giving them the right information. We're really not. Some people are not living as long as they. I got too many friends recently, and my friends that I know that have died from strokes or heart attacks. I got 2 funerals I have to go to. I got to go to a funeral Thursday, and I got to go to a funeral on Friday. I'm not going to take a break from funerals, but I'm not doing it. I'm not. And I'm not trying to be anti. I'm not trying to be da-da-da-da-da-da. We got to do better. We got to do better. But I know I got into it with my rheumatologist. And I know she probably was laughing because she was nervous because she wasn't expecting that. And they wanted to make it about the money. I said, it's not about the money. It's about my quality of life. You're going to have me all jacked up where I can't get out the bed and I can't walk. And I can't. I'm not going to do that to myself. And I got to pay for it, too. You would kill me. I remember my mother told me that one time. We was leaving college, and my mother was talking about some people, and I felt so bad. My mother's been deceased for 16 years, and what she said makes a hell of a lot of sense. A lot of sense. So I know I'm on a temper tantrum right now, so let me go because I know I went way 15 minutes over my time. So thank you for joining me here at Precious Today Blog Talk Radio, and like I said, I know that there are a lot of you out there that are dealing with a lot of medical issues and medical complications. We got to do better. We got to do better. So, again, see you on Monday. I guess I will come on Monday at 2 o'clock and on Tuesdays at 6 p.m. here at Precious Predicaments Blog Talk Radio. Until then, remember, you got this. So, yeah, y'all looking at me with my arthritis. How she moving? Yeah, I'm doing all that. Take care. Bye-bye.